Let's imagine for a few moments what our life would be like if we could access 100%.
I'm the proof that you can ask the universe for.
Follow, like, and subscribe.
Hello everyone, my name is Suryesh Singh. I am a brain expert, memory trainer, and an entrepreneur. This podcast channel is about growth mindset, self-improvement, building right habit, and understanding more about your career, relationship, finance, or any other area of your life.
Hello everyone, this is your host Durgesh Singh from Durgesh Singh Growth Mindset, and today's topic is how to master the art of public speaking. For those who are new, I always create content regarding growth mindset so that you can learn from the expert and apply the same for your life to make your life better, which is ultimately my purpose. And for today's topic, I have an amazing guest with me. He's been helping people all around the globe. He has a YouTube channel. You can watch that. I'll let you know everything at the end. And he's really, really amazing. I have personally seen his videos, applied his method. So please welcome my guest, Brendan Kumar Sami. Hello, Brendan. How are you doing?
Great to see you. Very good, Durgesh. How about yourself?
Okay. So, Brendan, you know, my first question will be, as you know, yesterday I created a story on Instagram, where I said people that I'm interviewing you, and you know, they asked me a few questions. So one of my first question is from my friend, Roshan Pradhan. He's in US right now. How did you come to this business, you know, so that, you know, people can understand how did you and why did you choose this?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in university, Durgesh, I used to do these things called case competitions. So think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So while other guys my age were playing cricket or rugby or soccer or football, well, I wasn't really into sports. What I did instead is I applied that competitive spirit and I applied it to presentations. So for 3 years, I presented hundreds of times, coached dozens of people on public speaking. And then after I got a job in the corporate world, I just asked myself a simple question. What do I do with my life? How do I contribute more to society? And that's when I had the idea for Master Talk, because I realized a lot of the public speaking information is really bad on the internet. You know, you hear advice like, oh, Durgesh, you should like be yourself and, you know, get up on stage. And I was like, this is such nonsense. So I started making videos in my mother's basement. One thing led to another, and Master Talk grew from there.
Oh, wow. That is amazing, you know. And so let's get dive into the main topic. And, you know, as a YouTuber myself or anybody who is creating any kind of content, you know, how do we create or how do we make a good content to a great content? Like through personal story or through frictional, like how do we do that?
Here's the way I see it, Durgesh. This is my process. Not enough content creators are having dinner with the people that watch them. So everyone who's a small content creator, you know, they always go, oh, Brendan, I want to grow my following. I want to become a YouTuber like you. What's your secret? I always ask him, how many people are watching you? They might say 25, 50 people. And then I respond with, how many of those people do you actually know? Like that you've talked to, that you've had a conversation with. They always respond with, like two. You want to grow to 1,000 followers and you don't know the 25 people that are watching you right now? That's the biggest mistake I see people make. I thought MasterTalk was a stupid idea, Durgesh, for the first 6 months of it. The only reason I kept going was because the people that were watching me, I think I had 17 subscribers at the time, something like that. Well, I knew them, right? So they told me, hey, this is good. You should keep doing this. So I was always able to refine my content. So if you look back at my old videos, it was just me in a basement, right, with no lighting, no phone. And they're still up. You could just go look at them. But today, obviously, it's a lot more professional than it used to be. That's the key. It's an evolution. So my advice is just to keep doing it and get feedback from the people who are watching. Like, you're doing a great job because you're asking people to give you questions for me because you're interacting with your audience. You know them. You want to do more of that. So you can see what kind of questions do they have for me, like as the growth mindset Durgesh, right? And then from that, you can create videos based on their questions.
Yeah, that is so, so real and true. In fact, in like, you know, in business also, I suggest my client that, you know, when you're creating that Instagram page, don't just start selling your product. You know, don't do that. First, make that relationship. You know, you make that connection bond and then you slide your product. Okay, you trust me, you trust my words. So this is what I believe you should buy. And then maybe you should do that. That is so real and amazing, you said. Wow. And, you know, in one place I read that if they're laughing, they're listening. Okay. If they're laughing, they're listening, which is so very true.
That's good.
But Brennan, I'm not a comedian. I'm not, you know, Chandler Bing. So how do you believe that? Is it really very necessary? Or if yes, like how should people like me or anybody who are not comedian can do this, apply this?
I'm definitely, we definitely don't need to be comedians. I'm not one. Yeah, sometimes I crack a joke or two in my videos for fun. But you don't need to be a comedian to be successful on YouTube. I mean, look at people like Roberto Blake. I mean, he's got, what, like 500,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel? He's a YouTube expert. And he is the most boring thing I've ever seen. Like, he literally just goes, hey, guys. But he's super smart and super informative, yeah. Right? That's why I have full respect for him, right? I say that with love. That's the point I'm making, is this idea that even if you're an introvert, even if you have no personality, if your content's really good and you do enough of it, you'll get really good. And Roberto's a good example of that, of someone who really persevered through it. I see it more like a toolbox, Durgesh. You know, in your toolbox, you have different tools. Screwdrivers, you have wrenches, you have scissors, maybe. And that's how public speaking works. You have different tools. Humor, sarcasm, personal stories, cheesiness, telling weird jokes, being very structured in your thoughts. So it's up to you to pick the right tools that make sense for you. So for me, those tools are educational content, structured thinking, new thought leadership, humor, and high vocal projection. So for you, those tools are going to be different. Those are just the tools that worked for me. But notice in my first 6 months of mastering, none of those tools came out because my video sounded like this. Yeah, hey guys. And then over time, it becomes a lot better.
Yeah, that is so amazing. So how do we use this tone, like variation of tone, you know, to make that human connection more vivid? Like everything is gone virtual now, you know, we are talking over, you know, especially for meetings. I'm an entrepreneur also. So, you know, before we used to go meet, there was a handshake. There was a vibe that we used to share. That was a bonding. But now because everything is virtual, all I can do is use my voice to make that connection. And that is very, very important, especially in business and in everywhere. So how do you, you know, use your voice, how to use your voice, how to change that tone and everything to make that connection?
Right. So the way that I think about tone variation, Durgesh, is it's not something a beginner speaker should be focused on because it's really hard. See, what I'm doing right now, when I'm using low vocal variety or high vocal variety, that takes a long time to practice. I think there's a lot of tips that we can do before that, that I think are a lot easier for people. So I'll give you an example. What's the difference between in-person and the online world, Durgesh? The difference is that in the online world, I cannot gauge your reaction. So I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm in India and I'm giving a workshop to you and your friends.
Yeah.
In that workshop, let's say I say a joke, two things will happen. One, you'll either laugh at the joke and go, oh, wow, Durgesh. I mean, Brenda, you're such a funny guy. And number two, which is more likely, you'll look at me and say, man, this guy's not funny. Why is he saying jokes? He's not a funny guy. But either way, I see how you're reacting and I can adapt. Say, oh, Durgesh and his friends don't find me funny. I have to change my jokes or say no jokes because I'm not funny. I can't do that online. The same joke that I said with the same amount of positivity, the same amount of enthusiasm, and the same amount of energy, I need to stay on a Zoom call and assume it's funny. Why? Because I don't see how you react. In a 20-person Zoom call, most people's cameras are off. I don't know if people are laughing at the joke.
Okay.
So I need to assume that I'm funny. I need to say to myself, Brenna, you're a funny guy. Say the joke and hope Durgesh laughs. Even in this conversation, Durgesh, we're one-on-one. Yeah. I still don't know how you react to me because I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the camera lens in front of me, right? So that's the thing. And that brings me to tip number two, the camera lens. You need to always look at the lens when you're speaking online. So it looks like I'm looking at you directly. Because if I looked at you directly like this, it doesn't look like I'm paying attention at all, okay. Right? So that's a second easy trick. All you have to do is take a picture of somebody that you love or like your favorite food and put it next to the camera lens. And then you'll always look at the lens. So that's the second tip. And then the last tip is always assume good intention from your audience. So I'll tell you a personal story. When I started podcasting, like as a guest, I was really scared because essentially what podcasting is a stranger you don't know stalks you for a couple of hours and asks you questions about your life. It's very bizarre if you think about it, yes. Right? You're just like, wait, why? How does this person know this and that? But over time, as you talk to the host, you know, after the call, let's say you say something, oh, Brent, that was great or something. We have an interaction. I slowly start to convince that, wait a second, a lot of these podcasts are putting a lot of work here. They're adding a lot of value to their audience. So now my perception of someone like you changes very quickly from who's this guy from India to, wow, look at the effort Durgesh is putting into his community. Yeah. Wow, look at how much he's promoting. He's really helping the fellow people within. He's contributing. So I'm going to assume that I've known him for many years and I'm going to speak to him in that way.
Yes, right? Yes.
So it feels like I've known you, even if we just met now.
Yeah.
But that takes time to master for people. So when you're presenting, as you get better and better in your speeches, your perception of your audience will change from them just being strangers to them being great people. And that's when you start to bring more energy to the table as well.
Wow, that was amazing. Well, I mean, seriously, everything was so, so great. So one more thing, which is very, very important, especially in this time, TikTok has really reduced the, you know, attention span of audience. And especially for YouTubers or advertisers, anybody who's selling anything on YouTube or anywhere, all they have is their first 15 to 30 seconds of time. That time frame is really, really shortened because, you know, now people need that dopamine effect in within 15 seconds. So how do you can advise to for people to grab that attention within that 13 seconds of time?
Yeah, so I have a different opinion on this, Durgesh, than most content creators. So maybe I'm not the best person to talk to, but here's what I think.
Please.
If somebody only wants to watch 15, 30 second videos, they're probably not in your target market. So if you think about somebody like me, if you look at my Instagram content, you compare it with my YouTube content, you'll realize very quickly that I take YouTube a lot more seriously as a platform than I do on Instagram. Like, you know, Instagram, I mean, the last time I posted was like November 11th, which was 11 days ago. I post on stories every day. I don't really put that much effort. But YouTube, I haven't missed a week since I started the channel, right? And I write my content 3 years in advance. Like, I'm crazy on YouTube. So why do I spend so much time there? Because I can't teach public speaking in 15 seconds. I just can't,
right?
So if you're someone who doesn't want to watch my 10-minute videos, because I know they're good at this point, you're probably not in my market. So that what I recommend for people is, yeah, you need to make TikTok videos. I've made a couple myself. You got to make Instagram content. But what you really want to focus on, especially if you're a coach, especially if you want to be a thought leader like a Gary Vee or a Seth Godin, it's very hard for you to build relationships with influencers that are thought leaders if you are not taking one of the three relationship mediums seriously. And those mediums are simple: blog, podcast, YouTube channel. These are the three mediums where you can develop a long-term relationship with the people on your channel, period. Simple as that. So if you look at these three mediums, I don't care if you're on Instagram, I don't care if you're on Twitter, you could be on anything, but you need to be at least on one of these three.
Yeah.
Because if you can't build a 45-minute conversation, some sort of relationship like we're building right now,
yeah,
you just won't be able to attract the right people to your business, to your movement, to what you're trying to do, because the people won't get the full range of what you're thinking. So in your case, Durgesh, you're doing great. You got a podcast and you got a YouTube channel. See, I don't have a blog. I don't like blogging, right? I don't even have my own podcast. So I guest on other people's shows. But I put all my attention on YouTube, though, right? So you want at least one of those three, and then the rest, do whatever you want with it. That's my advice.
Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah, we actually need to have that real, people who will actually watch our content. And you're right. You cannot teach 15 seconds. You literally cannot teach everything, especially the good things. It does not. I mean, I don't do it that. Yeah, very, very real. And also, one of the most common questions, I'm sure you will get this question from almost everybody you meet. And in fact, most of my audience asks this. And I also know that this is not the first time they're asking, but the most common question, how do we overcome the lack of confidence and nervousness, especially during, public speaking, and not just, believe in yourself and all, have faith. I'm something more than that.
Don't worry. You definitely called the right person for that question. Maybe not the last question, but this question for sure is definitely mine. All right, so let's get into it. The first thing we need to understand, Durgesh, is where does the fear come from? You know, I talk to people in India, South Korea, Europe, Africa, everywhere. I do podcasts all the time. And they're all scared of public speaking. They always ask me.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is everyone so scared? Whether you're Japanese or Indian. And the answer is simple. It's the education system. Think about it, Durgesh. Let's think about this as a thought experience. 100% of all the presentations you've given are mandatory. You don't wake up one morning and say, hey, Brenda, you want to get breakfast and present all day? I think I'm one of four people in my... I live in Canada, so I'm one of four people in my country who probably says that, maybe, over a breakfast with somebody. Right? So everyone else doesn't say that. So most people don't do presentations for fun. That's point number one. Now let's get into the education system. You could be in high school, college, university, doesn't matter. There are three things that happen in that environment. One, you never get to pick the topic. And if you do, it's generally something you're not passionate about. Think about the Renaissance in history. Probably look at it like, what is this Renaissance? And I got to give a presentation on this.
Exactly.
Number two, students don't listen to you. Not because they don't care about you. You're a great guy, Durgesh. The issue is they got to talk about Egypt in 10 minutes. They're biting their nails, worried about their own presentation. They're not paying attention to what you're saying in front of the classroom in the same way everyone's paying attention to us right now. They're not presenting after us.
Yeah.
Number three, teachers. Teachers are very well-intentioned, very well-educated, but also very stressed. If you have 60 students in a classroom and every student in that classroom needs to do a presentation, do you really have time to coach them?
No.
So let's break this down. And 100% of all the presentations you've given that were mandatory, you never get to pick the topic. You're presenting to students who don't want to listen, and you have teachers who don't have time to coach you. And this behavior gets repeated in everything. Math, sciences, languages, French, English, music, gym, on and on and on. We're taught to believe that public speaking is a chore. If you're at school, it's tied to a grade. And if you're at work, it's tied to a result. And if you fail, Durgesh, at any point, you'll get punished for it. Whether it's a lower grade or a promotion you don't get. So what's the punchline here? The punchline is simple. The fear of public speaking has nothing to do with us, but rather the system in which we grew up learning the skill in the first place.
Wow. That was seriously amazing. I could have never thought about, so deep you went. I mean, wow. And you're so right. I mean, there are so many things that we are taught in school and we don't use them. And there are so many things that we should have learned, but nobody said them anything about that. And especially speaking, public speaking, whenever we were asked to give that presentation, the teachers or the judges who were judging, they were not good at it. Honestly, like four or five people, they themselves were not good at it. We used to never listen to them, what they were saying in the class. I mean, so real. I mean, it's the problem is about the education. And thank God I have you. I mean, for all the audience who are watching this, you know, this show is going to be great. And for everyone who's watching this, whether you're watching on Facebook, whether you're watching on YouTube or any podcast channel, please take a screenshot of this and share it on the social media. Don't forget to tag both of us because we'll love to see from you. Okay, so back to the main question, Brendan. You know, one of my friend again, Ishu Goel, she has this question was, because she also speak in a lot of events. So how do we, and this is with me also, you know, if I know I'm going to speak in front of a large audience, and also I know that there are other speakers who I think are better than me. So how do I manage this, you know, performance, stress? How do I deal with that?
Right. So now that we understand where the fear of public speaking comes from, let's figure out how to solve it now, which answers the question you just asked also. So the way we solve this is simple. Okay. There is always going to be fear. I don't care how good you are at communicating. I've presented over 1,000 times. I'm still scared of communication to a certain extent. But I never let the fear get in my way. Why? The reason is because my message is more important than the fear. So let's imagine a boxing match, okay? Your fear is on one side of the ring and your message is on the other. The fear is always going to be in the boxing ring. You can see it. It's right there. But as long as your message gets the knockout punch, your fear will always lose. And that's the way people need to think about public speaking. I'll use myself as an example here. I started Master Talk when I was 22, Durgesh, and I started coaching senior level executives. People are double my age in America and Canada when I was 23. Who in the world am I to coach them on communication? I'm just some guy in a basement, in a mother's basement. So why did they pick me? Why is it me? So I had a lot of insecurity when I started. But how did I overcome that? I overcame that by two things, because at the end of the day, confidence comes from two areas. One is easy. We know it. It's preparation. If you don't know what you're talking about, you probably shouldn't be confident, right? That's one thing. But the second thing is having a belief system. Why are you actually giving this presentation to begin with? Like, why are you presenting? What do you actually stand for? You know, it's this idea of, yeah, I was scared of these executives. I was scared to coach them. But I just believed in a world where people who couldn't afford me, you know, 16-year-old girls, 15-year-old boys, a lot of people in India can't afford my rates these days because a lot of my clients are US now. And that's the idea is because they can't afford me, I need those executive clients who are big up in the company so I can use that money to make better videos for the public, right? So it's not this idea of let me drink a glass of water or let me breathe, right? Or let me not compare myself to others. No. It's not this power poisoning stuff doesn't work either. It's this idea of how would the world change if you were an incredible speaker? If you were a top 1% speaker, how would the world change? And if you have a clear idea on what that idea, on that, what that message is, nobody's going to stop you. Another example I give you to close this point off is Brené Brown. You know, Brené Brown is one of the, she is the top speaker in the world on vulnerability. She's an expert. And you know what? She hates public speaking. She's very public about it, right? The reason she hates it is because she doesn't like it. She has a PhD in social work, right? She had a very strong academic career. She never wanted to speak on a stage. So why did she? She spoke on a stage because she understood the following. Most people, and that's just the truth, are not going to read research papers.
Yeah.
They're not going to take the time. They're not going to read her books because they don't have the money for a book. Think about a single mother with 7 children. She doesn't have time to read a book. That's just life.
Absolutely.
Right? So Brené had a choice to make. And that choice was, do I let her go? Or do I take 20 minutes out of my life, present my research in a way that's easy for a fifth grader to understand, so at least that video will impact her because she can't afford somebody like me. She made her choice. I made my choice with Mastrock, so make yours.
That is amazing. And you actually reminded me of my personal story, you know. I'm a memory trainer as well. So I used to go and train students and doctors and all. So I did this after I finished my graduation. And as you know, my face structure is very young. If I shave my beard and everything, I look super young, like class 12 student. The first question they used to ask me, are you going to train? Are you going to train? You look so young. And like, just give me a chance. Let me show you my demo. Just give me. And then when I just did that, they were like amazed and they never questioned my age or anything. So that is so very true, you know, because I was so focused on helping them and all that. And I made it sure. That was amazing. That was so, you know, it brought my life. So that's amazing. And also, then my next question is, public speaking is not just in front of the audience. Let's just cut off that word public speaking. You know, speaking in general is very, very important, especially at this generation. You know, there are more of content creators, there are more competition, and the more you are able to speak, the more you are able to sell. Personally, I feel that two things that people should really know. First is how to sell, second, how to speak. I personally believe that these two are the things, but I also believe that these two are not two different things, but two faces of a same coin. Because you are an expert on this, how do you, you know, prefer that people should know that the importance of speaking and how to master these things, especially because we are not taught this in school, honestly. The teacher that saw us talking usually said, stay quiet, don't talk. So how, what is the importance and how do we master this? And how, what are the importance? Why it's so important, especially at this time?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I started Master Talk, right? For that very reason. So I completely agree. But yeah, the idea that I think about this is public speaking, as you said, has very little to do with presentations, but rather every interaction you have. Public speaking is the tough conversation you have with your family. It's the way that you talk to your friends and family. It's the way that you have dinner with the people you haven't seen in a long time. It's the way that you interact with children. It's every single interaction. So once you realize the importance of communication, not only will your presentations get better, but your life will get better too. And once you understand that, and you go back to that question I asked earlier, how would the world change if you're an incredible speaker? That doesn't just mean you speaking on a stage or speaking in a classroom. That means the way that you interact around the people that you know. Because if everyone understood exactly what you're trying to say, you'd probably have a lot less problems to deal with in your life. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that is amazing. So a follow-up question, like you mentioned that speaking is something when we interact with friends, family, everything. So how do you suggest to, you know, how can we practice public speaking in our day-to-day life? How can we do that?
Right. So there's a lot of easy ways you can do that. I would say the easiest one that I know is what I call the puzzle method. So puzzle is essentially the way that I teach people, and I'm happy to share it. So public speaking, Durgesh, is like a jigsaw puzzle. You know those 1,000-piece puzzles?
Yeah.
Kind of put together, right? So if I asked you, Durgesh, let's say you're working on a puzzle yourself, which puzzle pieces would you start with first and why? Don't worry, it's not supposed to be a hard question. Don't worry, I'll help you out. So you know those jigsaw puzzles? You know those, you know, you kind of put, you know those 1,000-piece puzzles?
Yeah, the puzzle that we
made. Oh, it's okay, don't worry. Anyways, I'll explain in more detail. Yeah, you know those puzzles, you know those toy puzzles?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm starting to call
together
one.
Christmas where you put like, there you go. That's what
I'm,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the puzzles, yes, of
exactly,
course.
You got it. Perfect. So, but exactly, you're right. You start with the corner pieces and then you work your way in the middle. So now the question we need to ask ourselves is why don't we do that in public speaking? We have a presentation at work, in business, at school. So what do? We start with the middle first. We shove a bunch of content. We get to the presentation. We get to the last slide and it sounds something like this. Thanks. That's probably 95% of the presentations I hear. That's why puzzle is so useful, because think of public speaking like a jigsaw puzzle. Start with the corners first. Start with the edges first. Practice your introduction 50 times, not 3 times, not 5 times. Do it 50 times. It'll take you an hour. It's actually not that hard. Same thing with the conclusion. What's a great movie with a terrible ending? A terrible movie. Same thing. 50 times. It'll take you another hour. In 2 hours of practice, your whole life will change, because you'll look at your presentation and go, wow, my introduction's really good. My conclusion's really good. I never presented the same 150 times before. Now you have this new confidence. Then you tackle the middle. And then after you tackle the middle, then you solve the public speaking puzzle. But remember, Durgesh, much like any 2,000-piece puzzle, who does puzzles alone? Nobody I know, right? So do it with friends, do it with family, do it with people around you, and master the puzzle. Even today, as a professional speaker, I still get feedback from my friends all the time.
Wow, that is amazing. So yeah, we can actually take help of somebody who are just around us, right? And talk to them and take feedback. That is amazing. And also, I want to know, like, why we are creating the content. Like I said, whenever I create content for my YouTube or anything, I write them down. Okay, so there's an introduction, conclusion, and then there are stories. Then there are personal stories or something. So what is the right proportion of, what is the right way to structure content for, like, from your side, what will be the right structure?
Right. So I'm not a big stickler. I don't have like hard rules on this. The way that I think about it is you do what works for you, but the key is you want to keep creating until you find a structure that works. So like in my case, I'm happy to share my structure, yeah, but I don't think you should necessarily apply it. It's my videos are always the same. It's always a quote from somebody else. I always explain the quote. I introduce the video. I give my 3 points. I bring back the same quote. I re-explain it in a different way and I say bye. Like, that's it. That's all I do in my videos. Essentially, that's what it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way, but that's the same structure I use every time. If you keep watching my videos and you really dissect them, there's always 3 points. There's always a quote. It's always me being cheeky at the beginning, you know, just being a little jokester. And then I get into my serious tips. I blow people's minds and then the video's over. That's pretty much it. I don't recommend that structure for everybody. And my videos didn't start with that structure either. When I started, I was just free flowing. I think what's more important is that people create
and experiment.
Like, what's your topic? Same thing with me. Yeah, like people look at me now, Durgesh, and they go, wow, he's so eloquent as a speaker on a podcast. All of his answers are so perfect. But you're forgetting that this is my 300th show. Right? Like, I do interviews like this. I do like 20 interviews a week, right? So when I first started, I'm telling that for a reason. You know what I started? You know, let's say Durgesh was my first show, and let's say he's like, so, Brady, where's the fear of public speaking come from? I would have answered like this, well, Durgesh, I don't really know. I'm still in my mother's basement. I don't really have any clients yet. I don't know. I don't know. But then over time, when it's, like you said, I get this question a lot. When it's the 100th time I've been asking the question, now I really have to think about it. I was like, where does the fear of public speaking come from? He's right. I should probably know this. And then I was like, oh, the school system and this. And then I put something together and now it sounds pretty great. But that's because I present the same idea over and over. Nobody's asking me my favorite fruit on podcast, Durgesh, right? It's useless. Dude. It's always the same questions, right? So that's the thing I really want to push, is the best speakers in the world are always presenting one topic. Tony Robbins, as an example, has been doing the same damn seminar longer than you've been alive. Right. And definitely longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying. It's always the same seminar. It's 3 days. You walk on fire. He yells at you. And it's amazing. That's the point I want to drive.
Wow. So, you know, practice is the key. You know, the more you do, the better you get. That is amazing. And also, most people say that, you know, when you're speaking, just don't stop. Don't hesitate. I don't feel that it's true, you know. I think what is the right place to pause, especially when you're, I think, you know, we should give audience some time to understand what I've just said, or, you know, I should also be able to breathe. What is the right point, what is the right, place to pause so that it does not look, okay, he's forgetting something, but I'm actually giving time for you to grasp what I just said. So how do you suggest that?
Right. So that, in my opinion, is a myth. You know, this whole idea that if you pause in the wrong place, people will think that you're going to forget something. That's a myth that a lot of average speakers tell themselves, because they're afraid that when they pause, they go, oh no, people are going to forget. People are going to think that I don't know what I'm talking about. That's not true at all. You know, I pause all the time. Right now.
That's right? True.
Do you feel like I'm forgetting what I'm saying? No, of course not. Yeah. Right. You think Brendan's a great speaker. That's the point I'm driving. Okay. Pausing is a choice that you make for your presentations. So there's no necessarily the right place to do it. I think it's more about write out your text and then highlight places where you think you should pause. The person who should help you pause is never yourself when you're getting started. Ask somebody else who's listening to you and watches you and goes, I would have paused Durgesh here, 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 here. I do this a lot with my clients, but you don't need to be a speech coach to do this. You can just be like your friend. You know, the friend who asked you, gave you the question to ask me? Work with him. Get on a Zoom call. Say, hey, Ravi, let's do a presentation. And then you present. And then Ravi's going to look at you and go, Durgesh, you got to pause here, 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 here.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Okay, that is so, true. And because most of my friends who are also, getting into this YouTube or, like I said, Ishu, my friend, she is also a public speaker. So, this happens a lot. They actually get confused or they don't know. So they say that, especially after giving a right message, the moral of the, entire conversation. So they say like before that or after that. So yeah, it's basically a myth. You should actually go with what goes with you, So I think that's really amazing. And also I want to know that this emphasizing, if I want my audience to think, I want my audience to guess like what I'm about to say, because I think that will make the interaction more real. If I'm with 1,000 people, I'm talking with 1,000 people, I want my audience to interact with me. Now, I cannot literally see everyone. I cannot do that. Especially when I'm over the camera. When I started my YouTube channel, the first, I was in front of the camera. I wasn't sure. This is not a human. How do I make that? How do I make that interaction? So how do you do that? You also create YouTube videos. How do you do that? How do you make that interaction? Whether it's for YouTube channel with camera or in public speaking.
Yeah, so on camera, I cheat. And the way that I cheat is I have somebody in the room. So there's somebody who actually does my videos in the back who's filming. So I'm presenting to them. That's how I get rid of that issue. For public speaking, it's a lot easier because the audience is actually there.
Yeah.
So the key is, going back to the first point I made earlier, you want to have dinner with them. You want to understand who they are, what they aspire to be, what their psychology is, and you could present better that way. But if you don't have those conversations, you won't be able to get better, like, period. Like, you're just presenting blind. I'll give you best example. When I started, my presentations used to be super technical. You know my puzzle analogy I gave? That used to be way more complicated. Okay, there are three parts to the presentation structure. This, I already lost everybody. I was like, whoa, Brendan's too smart. I can't do this shit. Right? It's like, it's done. And then one of my clients got so confused that I said, okay, how do I explain this easier? I looked in my house and I was like, public speaking is like a puzzle. She was like, what do you mean? And I was like, you start with the corner piece. I was like, oh, that's good. Then I wrote.
Okay.
That's the point. Like, make it easy on your audience. You got to talk to your audience to figure out how do you explain your ideas so that they understand.
That is so amazing. I mean, yeah, you actually have to, maybe, even if there are 1,000 people, I need to focus on one. Like, okay, I'm talking directly to somebody, one person. Okay. And for some of the examples, like in my case, I know a lot of people who do this shoot solo. I know you said that somebody's shooting, behind. But when you started, most probably you set the camera and then you came back. In that case, what we should do? especially that is basically the beginners, the first people who wants to getting into this.
In my opinion, I wouldn't worry too much about bad production. My first 9 months of YouTube, I was alone too. No, my first year of YouTube, actually. First year, I was all alone. So yeah, I hated it. My energy wasn't that great, but I kept doing it, right? So I think what's more important in year one is practice. Like, how badly do you actually want this, right? Like for me, it became very clear 6 months in that the vision for Master Talk was a lot bigger than what I initially thought it was going to be. Much bigger. Right? I was like, wait a second. I have an opportunity here to help the world. I should really take this a lot more seriously. Whereas most people probably can't stick to a YouTube channel. It's really hard to post every single week and to keep that up. Yeah. So my advice for people is just to get started. You know, just post every week. With no editing. I never edited a single one of my videos the first year. I just literally pressed on, I spoke, and then I posted. That was it. So that's what I recommend for people. Do that for 8 weeks. If you could do that for 8 weeks, you're already ahead of 95% of people. Already, just with those 8 videos, you're already ahead of 95% of people. And then once you get ahead of everyone, then you think about strategy. Things like, okay, you need to understand that video is the only way to get to millions of people. If your goal is to impact a bunch of people, you cannot do it by just talking to them. You need to have a scalable asset, which is video, that you can share with people. Think about this conversation. Why do I guest on podcasts? Because the average podcast, even if they're really small, there's an average listenership of 50 to 100 people. So it's like I'm talking to 50 to 100 people in an hour of my time rather than meeting somebody one-on-one. That's why I don't do one-on-ones anymore. I only do podcasts or keynotes, right? So that's what I recommend for people is the only way for you to share your ideas with millions of people is to speak on a medium where there's millions of people. I never wanted to be a YouTuber, ever. The only reason I did was because it was the only way to reach people like you.
Wow, that is so amazing. Wow. I'm like so amazing. This is wow. So one more thing, and you know, because this speaking, as I said earlier, you know, you need to have this skill of speaking. You know, whether you are anything, whether you are a teacher, you are selling your knowledge to your student. Whether you are a parent, you are giving advice to your children. Whatever, whether you're a salesperson, anybody, we all have to learn this, public speaking. So, Brendan, how can my audience contact you? How can they learn from you? Because you are an expert, so how can they find you?
Yeah, of course. The best way to do that is definitely the YouTube channel. Just go on YouTube, type in the search engine, Master Talk in one word, and you'll find all my videos that are available for free. So you can learn anything you want to learn about public speaking. So that's Master Talk in one word.
Wow, that is amazing. So anyone who is watching this, Master Talk is a must subscribe channel. Do subscribe him. It's an amazing, and I'm telling you, as I said, I always post content regarding growth mindset, and this public speaking is one of the most important thing that is really, really needed, especially at this present time. You know, you cannot always go and meet somebody in person. Like I said, COVID has hit hard, you know, and there's so much things going on. Podcast, you cannot see somebody. So it doesn't matter whether you're beautiful or ugly, it doesn't matter. You know, that part has gone. All what is left is your voice. So make sure that you make a best use of it. So Master Talk is a must subscribe channel. And one, the last but not the least, Brendan, I always ask my audience, I always ask the guest, whoever is there. So what is one growth mindset hack, tip, or habit that you personally follow and you would like to share with my audience?
Absolutely. And if you apply this tip, I guarantee your life will be better. The exercise is figure out what your definition of happiness is. Most people rely on other people's definitions. So my recommendation is to make a list of all the things that actually make you happy. And I'm happy to share you mine. I love clubbing. Like, I go clubbing all the time. I just don't anymore because of COVID. I don't drink. I just love dancing for 7 hours straight. I karaoke in 8 different languages. I yell at my friends when we have dinners at restaurants. And I ask people very uncomfortable questions about life. Like, what are you pretending not to know? I ask really weird questions like that. And that's what I find fun. So most people are listening to this right now and going, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go dancing. I don't want karaoke. And that's my point. Where's your list? Nobody takes the time. Nobody takes 30 minutes of their life to write their own list. What is it? Is it spending time with your family? Is it reading some books? Is it drinking tea in the middle of the day? Write that down and just do it. That's just something that most people don't do. It kind of drives me crazy.
That is amazing. You know, just a follow-up question, because you said all that, you do it because you feel happy. That makes you. So I just want to know, what are the few lessons that you learn the hard way and you would like to share with our audience? Especially for this.
I'll give you one, man. I think the hardest one. Yeah, I think I would say the big thing, even whether it's public speaking or life, is most people don't ask themselves hard questions about life. You know, Tony Robbins puts it best. The quality of your life is solely determined by the quality of the questions that you ask yourself. I'm not more important or more special than anyone else. But the difference is I asked myself very tough questions early. So when I was 19, I wrote my own funeral speech. I would ask questions like, if you were God, what would you do first and why? What are you pretending not to know? If you had all the money in the world, how would you spend your time? What is the truth that you believe in that most people think is stupid? Those are the questions that lead you to the truth. And my truth ended up being a YouTube channel on public speaking, and your truth will be different. But you need to ask questions, hard questions, to figure out what your truth is. So don't just take notes on the questions I just said. Answer them for yourself.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is so, so really amazing. Wow. So again, whoever watching this, if you're whether on your YouTube podcast, any podcast channel, make sure you take a screenshot, share it on the social media. Don't forget to tag both of us. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much, Brendan. That was an amazing, amazing show. And any suggestion you would like to give my audience or about this show, anything?
Yeah, I'm happy to recommend my favorite book on public speaking. So my favorite book is Thirst by Scott Harrison. So Scott Harrison's the CEO of Charity Water. I think he's a really smart guy. The way that he thinks about messaging and marketing and branding and storytelling has worked really well with this organization. And Bill Gates and a lot of people recommended his book. So Thirst by Scott Harrison would be a book recommendation I think people should check out.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Brendan. Thanks once again. And that was it. And I hope you liked that show. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this with your friends, whoever get benefited. And don't forget to subscribe to Brendan's channel, Master Talk. And again, see you on next Saturday. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brendan. Thanks once again. Thank you very, very much.
So if you want to learn more about growth mindset for your business, for your financial, for your health, and for all aspects of your life, please follow, like, and subscribe. You know all the norms. So please do that and come back again. Thank you.